Yes, welcome on in to the Auburn Daily Show, the Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, writer for auburndaily.com. I'm joined by Zach Blackerby, the editor-in-chief, founder of auburndaily.com. And a lot to talk about, Zach. We're looking at a situation here as we get up to the start of classes where transfers have to come in. We're kind of getting down to the wire, and Auburn sees a couple commitments on Monday of interesting players. Let's start off with the wide receiver. Cincinnati wide receiver Nick Mardner.
Huge.
Commits, literally huge. 6 foot six. Commits to Auburn. What do you see as the right role for somebody with that frame and that size in this offense?
Lindsey, I think we talked about it throughout the year last year with Auburn's wide receivers. It's like, I think there's a lot of really solid players that are raw, have a lot of ability when it comes to explosiveness and potential route running and a proper offense. But they seem, for the exception of like Camden Brown, they seem to all be like slot guys. And so I love, you bring in a 6 foot six giant, Nick Mardner, and all of a sudden, I think in certain situations, you could put him on the outside. Goal line situation seems to make sense. Or if you have a potential mismatch, you want to make a maybe an undersized corner, if you could kind of manipulate some coverages there. I think all of a sudden that size allows you to have a mismatch, and he can move too. I mean, to have that type of size and to be somewhat of a threat behind the safeties, behind the defense, I think that's exactly what the role is going to be for a guy like Nick Mardner.
Can you imagine a goal line package, a two tight end set where you've got Rivaldo Fairweather, good size guy, the transfer from FIU. You've got Brandon Frazier, 6 foot seven, hasn't had a ton of run at Auburn, but impressive size.
Sure.
With your wideouts being Nick Mardner and Landon King on the outside, and just having just incredibly tall options. I feel like even I could complete that jump ball to one of those guys.
You got to think it helps whether it's Robbie Ashford or whoever transfers in, or maybe Holden, whoever gets the job, but let's put Camden Brown on the field too. I mean, just as many giants as you
five
can. And there's a lot of fun things that you can do with a guy like that. And you didn't have that going into the portal period of all of this, Lindsey. I looked at the receiver room and I kind of felt good about where it was at. Not a whole lot of like proven dudes, but unless you went out and just got like a number one guy, I didn't really see how much of a difference it would make. This addition makes sense. I'm not sold on how impactful it might be. He may be Auburn's number one. I don't know. But, you know, he had a 900-yard season on his career. Nobody on Auburn's roster has even come close to that. So it makes sense. Just like, you know, every player that Hugh Freeze has gone out to get, it makes sense. You could see how it fits inside the roster.
Yeah, I think it's like looking at his past production, you know, he was at Hawaii with Marcus Davis, new wide receivers coach.
Right.
Transferred to Cincinnati, didn't do a ton out there. But yeah, he just brings a different element that you don't necessarily have in the wide receiver room outside of maybe a Landon King. And then he, like you said, he gives you the experience. You have some guys who have, like a Shedrick Jackson, who have moved on. And then you have a lot of guys who haven't been very prolific in their time in college, Akoi Moore. Sure. You know, Landon King, Camden Brown. So, yeah, he does give you experience. He gives you something a little bit extra there. I do find it interesting. He's 6'6", 190. And it feels kind of like you sometimes see those basketball players.
Yeah.
That it's like, okay, you really could put on 20 pounds and still be explosive and still be, you know. So part of me wonders, is there any physical development still left in there? Can he be effective blocking and everything at 6'6", 190. But either way, you can't teach 6'6". You just can't teach that height.
You can't. And you know, you don't want him to lose a whole lot of that burst either, right? So how much weight do you really want to put on him? Yeah, if you go to auburndaily.com right now, his picture is one of the pictures at the top. Our article, I think you wrote that one, about him committing to the Tigers. And it's like, yeah, he's not thick. You know, I mean, he's big, but he's not thick. He's very tall and long and lean. So, but I think that's what you want in that role of him being on the outside, just because I think this staff believes he can stretch the defense. And so, you know, you want him to have You want him to have some burst and some speed there, Lindsay.
Yeah. And another guy, speaking of burst and speed, another guy that Auburn brought in yesterday was running back Brian Batty out of USF. And a lot of people were a little confused when he first signed. And I think the more time that I've had to sit with this, the more I realize, no, I actually kind of really like this pickup for Auburn just based on what he does and the element that he can bring to a talented but kind of inexperienced room.
Yeah, I mean, the upside of Auburn's running back room, I don't think you need to really explain that, right? Jarquez Hunter, Damari Austin, Jeremiah Cobb. I mean, all of those guys are just really good runners and have shown good things happen when you put the football in their hands. But Brian Batty comes in off of a season where he played for a pretty bad USF team. Their offense was awful. And his run grade, if you're into PFF stuff, was a 91.6. Tanks was a 90 last year. And so the fact that he was able to produce all of those, all of those grades despite his situation being pretty poor is encouraging. He's got a lot of burst. He's not the biggest guy. I think he's like 170, which isn't great. But with that role, right, you know, you got Jarquez Hunter, your do-it-all guy. Batty, I think, in a Hugh Freeze system, creates a lot of interesting gadget-type plays. I'm not going to compare him to Sean Shivers, but I wouldn't be shocked if you saw him as kind of that gadget guy and what Hugh Freeze wants to do offensively. Several YouTube comments on my my podcast, Locked on Auburn, today talked about how, like, you may see him in the slot. And I'm like, I'm not predicting that, but you certainly might, right? He wasn't super relevant in USF's passing game. That could be scheme. I'm not going to say that's like he's not able to do that. I just don't think he was asked to do that. And so maybe that was part of the conversation between, you know, Batty and Carnell Williams and Hugh Freeze as they were trying to recruit him. But I think it's interesting that Auburn wanted a running back, right? I mean, you saw this with Dylan Johnson, I believe was his name, the former Mississippi State running back who committed to Washington. And, you know, he committed about a week or so ago. But to me, I just thought that that room was full. Like, I thought that room was good where they had it. But they clearly wanted some veteran leadership, some experience in that room. And they get it with Brian Batty.
Yeah. And when I went back and looked, so I wrote the piece at Auburn Daily that kind of explained him signing and everything. And the two things that stood out to me was, number one, you have 207 carries career in college in that room before you add Brian Batty. And 193 of those are Jarquez Hunter. So you have Jarquez Hunter, you have Damari Alston. We're going to have Jeremiah Cobb once he sends in his letter in the National Signing Day.
Right.
But one guy who's been a number two for 2 years, and then a sophomore who's been a third stringer. And so he gives you veteran experience. If something happens, he gives you a veteran. And a lot of those things that the vets can provide, not only the leadership and the teaching, but also some of the stuff like pass protection. Jarquez Hunter wasn't asked to do that a lot. None of the guys on the roster necessarily known as great pass protectors. So Batty, despite being undersized, I've been told that's a mentality, that's an experience thing, more so than just your size. But also,
Batty's pass blocking grade is 53. So I think that's higher than Auburn's backs.
Yeah. But also in 2021, Batty was an All-American at kick returner. And so I think what this does is this gives Auburn like a no doubt number one return option. Whereas before you would have been looking at, can we either find a way to take one of these running backs and use a punt to give him a ball in space, or can we go take somebody, maybe a defensive back, someone else who we need on the defense to return? Now you have a guy that is in a deep room. You can afford to run him out there at returner, use him in gadget situations, and take advantage of his skill returning. I think that's kind of the idea here behind bringing in Batty. He's a veteran. He's got veteran leadership, but then also he's a great returner.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it makes the most of that roster spot, that scholarship that you're giving him. You know, he could be number two, number three guy in the running back room, maybe some gadget type, you know, offensive player, which you want on the field if you have a Hugh Freeze type offense. And then also an addition on, you know, when you look at special teams. So a lot of things to like about Brian Batty. And so his commitment, gets us to around, depends on where you ask. Some people are saying that it's at 80. I was told earlier this morning by somebody they think it's currently at 82, and you get 85. So we'll see if a quarterback is added to get you to 83, and maybe you stay put, maybe you get another interior lineman, or maybe you stay put and see if, you know, something happens in spring, you need to add somebody kind of in that second wave of portal guys in the summer. But it's been a fun few weeks slowly adding guys. And it seems like over the last week or so, there's been a guy or two every day. So, what Hugh Freeze has done so far in his first few months on the job has been nothing short but amazing.
Yeah. Real quick, no explanation. Just if you had to fill those three spots, what are you taking? I'll go first. I would do an edge. I would do a quarterback, and I would do another premier linebacker.
I would do interior offensive lineman, quarterback, and linebacker.
There we go.
Yep.
In agreement on two of the three.
Yep.
Today's video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you could be exploited by hackers. NordVPN allows you to change your IP address, making you harder to track, securing your privacy. So some of our friends, maybe our friends over in Louisiana, have recently learned about the need to have a VPN and have your online traffic protected. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. You can check out the link in the episode description today to sign up for NordVPN. Again, the link is in the episode description. It'll be in the show notes on audio. Sign up today. Zach, tonight, Ole Miss versus Auburn, 8 p.m. ESPNU. We've seen mixed results the last couple weeks from Auburn basketball.
Sure.
What is your feeling going into tonight's game?
Yeah, I think this is a game that Auburn should win. Ole Miss 0-3 in the SEC. And Lindsay, it's not one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, they slipped up. Like, they look like an 0-3 in the SEC type team. Haven't been impressed with either of the Mississippi schools once conference play has started, despite Mississippi State entering it ranked. And I think Ole Miss is a worse version of that. Mm-hmm. To me, I think this starts a run that's going to be really telling to see where Auburn finishes in the SEC. And so, because four of their next six games are on the road, obviously Ole Miss tonight on the 18th, they go to LSU. On the 21st, they go to South Carolina. The following week on the 28th, they go to West Virginia. And it's just like, that's a tough next few weeks. And so to me, if you can go ahead and get one of those wins, I think it really helps you, especially mentally, with what you had to deal with that, like whatever that was last week when you went to Georgia, an absolute abysmal showing. Ooh. One of the worst showings of the Bruce Pearl era since we've gotten good anyway. So I think that's going to be my biggest thing, is like, okay, which team do we get? Because we've seen two different teams, and we've seen this over the past few years. This year seems to be a more exaggerated version of it, where it's like at home in Neville Arena, you get a team that can beat anybody in college basketball. We saw that against Arkansas. I mean, Auburn ran them out of the gym at times. And then obviously away from Neville Arena, you get a team that doesn't even look like a tournament team at times. And so we'll see what happens, but this is a team that Auburn should really have. I don't want to say easy time because it's a road SEC game, but Auburn should win tonight.
Yeah, and not giving them credit because they're not paying us for this. The line is Auburn -2, over under of 133. So Auburn, a favorite despite being on the road. Part of that, like you said, is Ole Miss is just not very good. But part of that also kind of is because of that question of which Auburn team are we going to get? Are we going to get the home Auburn? Are we going to get the road Auburn? Yeah. Are we going to get the Arkansas Auburn or the Georgia Auburn? And, you know, after you do this, you've got a game on Saturday at home against Mississippi State. And then, like you said, it's a stretch of teams on the road. You've got to play good teams on the road. You have to play Tennessee on the road in February. You have to play Kentucky on the road in late February. You play Alabama on the road in late February. And so Auburn needs to figure out how to win on the road during this stretch so that they can be in the best possible form as they get to the SEC tournament. And then as they get to the NCAA tournament, assuming and hoping that they make it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they lost to Tennessee They lost to Alabama, and they've lost to Mississippi State. So, I mean, it's not like they've played bad, like bottom-of-the-barrel conference teams or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I still don't think Mississippi State's that good, but it is what it is. So, I don't know. I just think mentally, from Ole Miss's point of view, this is a big game for them. But, mm-hmm. like, they can't be super confident in what they've been able to do. They started the season off 6-0, and ever since then, they've kind of trailed off and really struggled. I mean, starting 6-0, and now they're 8-7, 0-3 in conference play. Like, that's just not great, right? Like, it's just hard to kind of get over that. And so, you know, Auburn's dealing with their emotional, mental side of it, you know, as far as who are we as a basketball team right now? Who are we in this post-Jabari Smith, post-Walker Kessler world? But they need to be able to do it. Look, it comes down to Wendell Green, and weirdly enough, based on the last two games, like Alan Flanagan's production, I mean, he's been actually pretty solid over the last 2 weeks or last two games, last week of action. Both those guys getting double digits in both their games, even the tough win or the tough loss against Georgia. So to me, it comes down to Wendell Green. Ole Miss has a forward who leads the he's like fifth in the country. Let me find it. He's fifth in the, Miles Burns. He's 28th nationally, averaging 2.2 steals per game. It's fifth best in the SEC. And so Auburn has had a hard time taking care of the basketball. They mm-hmm. did take care of the basketball against Arkansas away from Neville Arena. They have a hard time. They turn it over a ton. So that's definitely a specific player to watch.
Yeah, and it's just a situation where, like you said, you've kind of changed identities a bit this season. You've lost two All-Americans who went to the NBA and Jabari and Walker Kessler, and you haven't quite figured out exactly who's going to replace them. You have some talented freshmen, including a five-star who just hasn't quite gotten their feet underneath them. And then obviously you've had some guys that have been injured that are working their way back into the rotation. And this is not the version of Auburn that you saw against Georgia or against Arkansas is not the final version of this team. The question, I guess, is how much more work is it going to take to get to that final version? And hopefully, like you said, we find out a little bit more tonight about who's going to step up. Is Alan Flanagan back to the old Alan Flanagan we knew before the Achilles injury?
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Find that out hopefully sometime soon. And then obviously we'll have all of your takeaways from this game as well as relevant highlights, things like that on auburndaily.com. Zach, where can the people go to find you, support you, love you, all of that?
Yeah, auburndaily.com. And then I do a daily show, Locked On Auburn, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. However you're watching or listening to this, Locked On Auburn's there as well.
Yep. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. I am also the host of Locked On MLB Prospects, available where you get your podcasts and on YouTube. But the Auburn writing, I'm mostly covering baseball, but help out with everything else. AuburnDaily.com. Go check it out. And we have merch at AUShirts.com. There is Auburn Daily merch. If you want a shirt, a hat, things like that, you can go out and get that yourself. This has been the Auburn Daily Show.